Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's unite our hearts in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing upon our gathering tonight. Let us pray. Our eternal God and our loving Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently in thy presence in and through the name of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. We come to thee rejoicing this night that we have the access into the throne room of heaven, and we can draw nigh to thee because of thy dear Son. We do rejoice this night that he has paid our debt in full. He has paid that debt upon the cross of Calvary. And we do rejoice this night, O God, that he has entered into heaven on our behalf. He is seated at thy right hand, ever to make intercession for us. We thank thee, O God, this night for the opportunity once again to sing thy praises, to read thy word, and even to hear thy word preached. And we do pray for that help from on high in each and every aspect of our time together in this meeting. We pray as we sing that we will know the joy of the Lord, even in our worship. We pray as we read thy word, and then as the Reverend Foster will come to preach forth thy word. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless each and every part, that thou wilt use thy servant this night to proclaim the glorious message of Jesus Christ. We pray for each and every one who hears thy word. We pray, O God, this night that thy word will be written upon our hearts, that thou wilt hide it deep, that we might not sin against thee. We pray now for thy blessing. We pray for the infilling of thy Spirit, that thou wilt come, and that all of the honor and all of the glory will be given to thy dear Son, and to him only. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to read some verses from the Psalm number 40. The Psalm number 40, it is entitled, To the Chief Musician, a Psalm of David. And we're going to read the opening 8 verses of the Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his precious and his infallible word. We're going to sing another wonderful hymn, the hymn that, which is entitled, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene and Wonder How He Could Love Me, a Sinner Condemned and Unclean.
Good to be with you here today, and I trust that as we look at God's word in Psalm 40, the Lord will bless it to every heart. Every culture in the world has its own special characteristics. Being from Northern Ireland, I know that Northern Ireland has its own special characteristics, one of which is that people from Northern Ireland have the tendency to use grand and solemn words for rather common and insignificant matters. For example, take the word amazing. It literally means to be utterly astonished, to be taken back that you're like a stone in awe of what has just happened. And the people from Northern Ireland can very casually say, that was an amazing cup of tea. Or you take another word, the word awesome. It has a very grand meaning. It means to inspire with overwhelming fear or reverence. And yet people from Northern Ireland, myself included, can use it rather insignificantly and say, that cheesecake was awesome. We have this tendency to use grand words for rather common matters. One last word, take the word great. I could talk about, this pen's great, it never fails me. I could talk about how I've got a great pair of shoes, they're nice and comfy. I could talk about how my tie is a great tie, it matches what I'm wearing. But the word great literally means that which is vast in consequence, that which is immense in its extent. And as we come into Psalm 40, you and I read about something that is truly great, something that is truly vast in its consequence, something that is truly immense in its extent. And that is simply the humility of God the Son. Many times I have read through Psalm 40, and as I have read through it, I have seen the testimony of David, how he describes in verse 2 that he was, as it were, in a horrible pit. You can imagine him being there in a deep well where it's dark and miserable and damp, and at the bottom of the well there he is in something like a miry clay that he keeps sinking further and further into it, and he's stuck and he can't get himself out. But then he cries to God for help, and the Lord inclines his ear, lifts David up out of that horrible pit. He washes him, cleans him, and sets him upon a rock and establishes goings. But yet, if you want to turn to me, please, to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in the chapter 10. And here the Apostle Paul is speaking to Jewish believers. He's talking about the Old Testament ceremonial law and about how God had commanded them in the Old Testament to bring forth an animal such as a lamb, a goat, or a bull, and there to have that lamb slain, the blood of it laid upon the altar. And we read in verse 3 of Hebrews 10, Paul speaks and he says, in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he, speaking about God the Son, cometh into the world, he saith, are these words familiar? Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. While Psalm 40 was written by David, while you and I can see David's testimony, yet primarily, ultimately, these are the words of God the Son as he came into this world. And the subject of it is the great, the vast, immense humility of God the Son. Humility, by the way, is not where you simply are always putting yourself down. Humility is simply where you just think nothing of yourself and you're just thinking of others. And I trust that as we look at this psalm, that you and I will see the love of God the Son for you. For you. Let me just briefly explain that this psalm is a little bit like a book. You open up a book and you will have the main details and the contents of the book. However, after the book is written, you will have what's known as a preface, whereby someone will take the main teaching of the book, the main emphasis of the book, and will then apply it to you. And in verses 1 to 5 of the psalm, we have the preface of the book. But in verses 6 to 17, we have the main details. And so I want to look at the details first. Notice with me from verse 6 to 17, the details of God the Son's humility. And notice with me regarding that in verse 6, the great submission that God the Son made. God the Son speaking to his Father in verse 6, he says to his Father, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. From Hebrews 10, we learn when God the Son said these words. We read why God the Son said these words. It was whenever he was coming into this world, before God the Son would be placed in a virgin's womb and then be born as the God-man, taking upon himself that human nature. God the Son would look down upon Israel, look down upon Jerusalem, and there he would see men and women fulfilling God's command of taking an animal, having an animal slain and the blood laid upon the altar. But God the Son would see something else. He would see men relying on the money they paid for the animal. He would see men relying on the effort that they made, the energy they put in to bring that animal. They would put their trust on what they were doing to be made right with God. And so God the Son says to his Father coming in this world, Father, sacrifice and offering thou dost not desire. Why? Because mine ears hast thou opened. Men and women, it is not what you and I do that will make us right before God. It's only what God the Son himself has done, because he is a sacrifice who has come for us. That phrase, mine ears hast thou opened, can literally be read, mine ears hast thou bored. Bored open. In the Old Testament, there was a picture about how if a Hebrew servant had served his master for 6 years, at the end of those 6 years, in the seventh year, that Hebrew servant could go free. But yet if that Hebrew servant had seen the love of his master in providing for him and caring for him, that Hebrew servant could turn around and say, you know what, here's my ear, take it, bore a hole in it, open up my ear, as it were, that it will be a sign for the rest of my life to all that look upon me that I am a servant to you forever. And here God the Son, he would take upon himself that servant position. While not considering it robbery to be equal with God, to be made in the likeness of men, to be our substitute, to die for our sins that we could be saved. Do you see the great submission that God the Son made to be a servant? A servant for us that we could be saved. The great submission God the Son made as he saw us who'd used our mouths instead of telling the truth and honoring God, telling lies and dishonoring God. Using our hearts not to love him with all we have, but to love ourselves. Using our minds not to think upon that which is pure and clean and again honors God, but that which is immoral and lustful and evil. Now God the Son would submit to be a servant for us. The great submission, vast and immense, of God the Son. Then notice with me, secondly, the great lowliness that God the Son took. In verse 7 of Psalm 40, God the Son said, "Lo, behold, take note of this, I come." Have you ever paused to think what it meant for God the Son to come into this world, to take upon himself that human nature? Have you ever thought about it? He who is the eternal God would step into time. He who is the infinite God would take upon himself that finite human nature. He who is full of majesty would be placed in a virgin's womb, would be born of a virgin, would be carried by a virgin, would be cleaned by a virgin. He who is full of power, being born, would experience for the first time tiredness and weakness and sickness and coldness and hunger. He who is full of holiness, holy, 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 as he would walk on this earth among men, he would see their thoughts of immorality and selfishness and greed and utter sinfulness, and it would grieve him to his very core. But yet do you see him saying here in verse 7, "Lo, take note, I come." Do you see him saying, "I come for you. I come to be your substitute." The great submission God the Son made, the great lowliness that he took. But notice with me then, thirdly, the great witness God the Son gave. Because coming in to verse 9, after declaring to us that his submission and that his lowliness was not a forced submission, he did it with delight. He did it with a willing love for us. In verse 9, he declares as his witness, he says, "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation." Christ, we read in the gospel records, that he told men and women and boys and girls that God the Father is holy, and that compared to him, we are sinners. Perhaps you say, well, is that not a bit harsh? Is that not a bit wicked? Is that not a bit unpleasant? I tell you, it's love. To tell someone if they're in danger, that they are actually in danger, not be ignorant and neglectful of them, but actually to tell them the truth. God the Son in love told us the righteousness, the holiness, the perfection of his Father, that we would see our sinfulness. But notice he would also tell us of the loving kindness of his Father. In verse 10 he says, "I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness." God the Son did not withhold anything from us that we needed to hear regarding God the Father's love. God the Son would declare in John 3:16 that God has so loved this world that he has given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. From the age of 12, he taught the doctors in the temple. At the age of 30, he was preaching to men, women, and young people, up to crowds of over 5,000 at a time. And he refrained nothing that we needed to hear. The great witness, immense and vast, that he gave in love for us who are rebels. Do you see that this evening? Notice with me then, fourthly, the great punishment God the Son paid. The gospel records tell us that Jesus Christ, after living for 33 years on this earth, a life of perfect obedience to his Father, that he would allow himself to be arrested, by soldiers. He'd allow himself to be brought before a Jewish court. There in that Jewish court, he who is truth would allow false witnesses rise against him. He would allow men in that Jewish court to blindfold him, to walk one after the other, the 70 leaders, and there to spit upon him and to take their hand and to slap the side of his face. He who is all power, he with one simple word could condemn them to everlasting punishment. God the Son allowed it. Allowed himself to be lied to and lied about, to be spat upon, to be blindfolded, to be beaten. Do you see how God the Son then, after the Jewish court was brought before Pontius Pilate would send him to be mocked. Their soldiers would take a robe, put it upon him, put a reed in his hand, put a crown of thorns on his head, and there they would bow the knee before God the Son, before Christ, and say, and they would mock him, "Oh, hail, King of the Jews." With one word, God the Son could have sent them to eternal punishment, but he didn't. And then God the Son being brought before Pontius Pilate, God the Son allowed himself to be condemned, to be crucified. There his hands be placed upon a wooden post, and there an evil, wicked man who was experienced in training and torture would take a whip, and at the end of that leather whip would be bits of metal or bits of bone, and it would be thrown into God the Son's back. And there the whip would be pulled, so his back would be torn, made to be like a plowed field, and there the blood would flow not merely from his head, but from his back. And you see how God the Son in love and the great punishment he would pay there upon the cross, raised up between men and God, between earth and heaven. There God the Son would take upon himself our sins, and all the world would grow dark. As the Father's wrath is poured out upon the Son, do you see Christ on that cross paying this great, vast, immense punishment for us, for our lies, our jealousies, our selfishness? Do you see him doing it for you tonight? Verse 11, Christ on that cross, he says in Psalm 40 to his Father, "While he is infinite in his power, yet taking upon himself that servant form, he needs his Father in all he does." He needs his Father in all he does. He's simply a servant of the Father. He needs the Father's strength. And so he's praised in verse 11, "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O God. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have come past me about mine iniquities. The iniquities of my people which have now been laid upon me, and I bear them, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." Crying to the Father for strength to fulfill the Father's will, and accomplishing the salvation the Father had sent them to do, to save us from our sins and from hell. And yet as Christ hung on that cross, the gospel records tell us, where the chief priests came along and they blasphemed him about how those who hung on either side of him, the thieves, they reviled him, how the crowds would mock him and ridicule him. And yet Christ declares here in verse 14 to his Father, "Let them be ashamed and confounded together, seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for reward of their shame that say unto me, ah, ha, ha, ha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." That was Christ's one desire, that his Father be magnified, and that we would be saved. However, in verse 17, he declares to his Father, "But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." We see the details of God the Son's humility, his love for us. But what was the result of it? God the Son on that cross, suffering in our place as our substitute. He cried to the Father for help. What was the result of it? Some people would always think that whenever God the Son prayed, his Father immediately was given, while God the Father always heard his Son's prayer. We're told that in the Gospel of John. Yet, we read in Matthew's Gospel, whenever Christ went to Gethsemane, he would pray to his Father, "Father, be thy will, let this cup pass from me." We then read how he went and prayed a second time, and then a third time, and we're told that he prayed the same words. God the Father always heard his Son's prayer, but he didn't always answer immediately. And now, in verse 1 to 5 of this psalm, as a preface declaring to you and I the application of these details, Christ, he declares, "I waited patiently for the Lord. On that cross, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me. He bent down his ear to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And there God the Son, suffering in our place, dying on that cross, crying out, it's finished. Being buried in that tomb, God the Father would raise his Son. And there, while Christ on that cross was in that horrible pit, as it were, suffering in our place, while he was in that horrible pit, that deep pit, that bottomless pit, paying the debt for our sins, the equivalent of hell forever, for every single lie and blasphemy and jealousy. Now God the Father raising his Son, he set him upon that unbreakable, firm rock of his own justice, the debt paid, the debt satisfied, and Christ's goings for all eternity are established. He's a Savior, the mighty victor and conqueror who can save us. God the Son, filled with praise for his Father, in sending him, in delivering him, in raising him up to now seat at the Father's right side. God the Son, he sings a new song in his mouth, even praise unto our God. And he says, many shall see it from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And shall trust in the Lord. Can I ask you as I close, do you see the humility, the great, the vast, the immense humility of God the Son for you? And as a result, do you put your trust in the Lord? Christ, he finishes and he says in verse 4, blessed is that man, happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud. He thinks that you're good enough, or indeed turn aside the lies, listening to deceitful lies. No, you make the Lord your trust. You repent from your sin and you believe that God has done all necessary for you in that cross. Blessed is that man. Many wonderful thoughts are God's love to us. Will you come to Christ tonight if you haven't? Put your trust in Christ and all he's done. He's loved us and given himself for us. What will you do with Christ? And if you know him already, will you love him, praise him for all he's done? Is he not worthy of it all? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, take thy word. Write it upon every heart, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.